Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson. And with me, as always, having a huge laugh, his producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, what's got you cracking up?
I just think it's funny that, like, we live together, obviously. And before we start the podcast, we're usually just like, anyway, this is happening. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, you want to record? Yeah, I guess we'll do it. And then you hit record, and then I point at you, and you go, oh, right, here we go.
Norm, it's called professionalism. Norm, how you doing? Scale 1 to 10, hit me hard.
I'm doing good, actually, so...
I'm freaking out.
Yeah, you're losing your mind about it. What am I? Let's say I'm a 6.
Norm, you've never been so attractive as you are in this moment as a 6. Remember, a 6 for you is off the charts.
Yeah, I'm flirting with 7.
Norm, in front of my face? I don't love this.
In front of my face. There's just a big sexy number 7 in the apartment.
Yeah, I would prefer if you were doing it behind my back.
Oh my God, that's 7. So thin.
Wow, I'm taking that personally.
No, don't say it. What, that I'm going to have sex with a giant
upset,
number 7?
I'm just upset you think a 7 is thinner than I am.
Well, it's thinner than an 8.
8, one of the curvier numbers, thank you so much.
I'll still smash an 8.
Norm! Oh my God, I don't even know how to feel about this violation.
Just like me having sex with large foam numbers. Well, things are good.
Things are good, yeah. And you know what? Pretty interesting energy in the house, I'd say.
Okay.
Wait, things are on the up and up.
This is news to me. What's the interesting
energy? Oh, I said things are on the up and up.
Oh, on the
up. I feel like there's lots more to chat about than usual. And on the episode this week, I did speak with our guest about having a rough day yesterday. Mm. And I recorded with her this morning. And she totally lifted my spirits. And I'm feeling in a great mood now. Isn't that so nice talking to Emily?
Yeah, who's the guest? She's a great actress, by the way.
Oh my God. She coaches me. We do some real acting.
Do you talk about how we go to her play, one of
Norm,
her plays?
Norm, don't give it away. Oh. What do you think? What do you think this is? A bangable 9? Hello?
Oh yeah, 9 I'd hit.
Ew, Norm, I want to die. I can't. I just can't with you today, you little scoundrel.
Call me a scoundrel like that?
I will. I was being cute and flirting to his face and was promptly rejected.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Wow, and to think I came into this being like, we'll just keep it short, not much to say, and here we are.
We're 2 minutes in.
Oh my God, is this not done yet? You have got to be kidding me. Norm, yeah. You got, things are revving up.
The schedule's about to
be very full for you.
Well, you know what happens, and you know this, this is true of all the years you've known me, is mm-hmm. that in the fall, usually September, things ramp up for me.
Like, and not just because of NFL. It's like everything
randomly.
In your life. It's so weird with you. Yeah. I don't know why.
Why is that?
And it is since we've been together, not since I've known you, because that was from a gajillion years ago.
Yeah.
But like, it's just something about you in the fall. And then it's like the spring or like heading into summer, not much popping off.
Dead zone.
And then the fall, and you're always like, oh, I don't know. And I'm always like, it's going to be just fine. And then the fall comes and it's like explosive, your schedule. Like,
yeah, I don't get
explosive.
It.
I don't get it either.
I do nothing the rest of the year.
Does that stress you out?
September, October are always, but it's not even just like the same old thing happens. It's random new shit.
Every year it's new. It's like you have your job. It's like, okay, that's actually the one with the more predictable schedule that you know. But then it's like out of nowhere with you.
It'll be like 3 things that are like, oh, you want, or like opportunities will come up, but it's only in those like that 2 month window. And if November comes around and nothing's popping off, then I'm done for the year.
Happy Thanksgiving. But does that stress you out?
Well, now I'm used to it.
So it's not, but it used to. You used to get really stressed out.
Well,
I'd say a lot more.
Very overwhelmed. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like now
I still get a little overwhelmed. But.
Yeah. But you're doing better at taking things one by one, which is really hard to do when there's like so much happening and from 0 to 100. And especially in the pandemic. And it's like, and even now with like, you know, the ramp up of Delta and everything, not everyone, but a lot of people are kind of going back indoors and things are like slowing a little bit, it seems, in different areas.
Sure.
And it's just like with you, forget it. You're like the new me. I'm a jet setter, as we know, from the two places I went to in the last 2 years. And, you know, now you're becoming the jet setter, jetting around town, jetting in different rooms of the house.
That's jetting in different rooms of the house.
Yeah, jet to the kitchen, jet to the main room.
Yeah, but it, you know, I will say this, be just in the like entertainment business in general, it's already chaos and very random.
Absolutely.
So like you never can really predict when things happen. So that's already kind of a stress, but no. And it's, you know, also I could say that this is true. It's been true. This fall surge for me has been true for the last few years, but
at least five years.
Yeah. So now I get a little more used to it and I can like, okay, well, I just have to prioritize this and prioritize that and figure it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it still can be very overwhelming.
Yeah. I will say it's like, all I've been thinking about is, you know, like wanting to work or wanting to like different things of like where it used to be more hectic. And I'm like, oh my God, I miss the madness. And I got to be honest with you. I'm worried I'm not capable of handling it like I used to, because I feel, much like live performing, a little out of practice. I feel totally out of practice. And I'm like, can I handle more than one thing now? Like, I feel like my schedule is like, you know, you have a couple things here and there. You like kind of spread it out because you're like, oh, that way you're kind of keeping busy all day. And then all of a sudden, three things. I'm like, I'm never going to get through this list.
But that's the job. You got to be ready for it. That's the whole point.
No.
Stay sharp. Be ready always.
Okay, I'm ready.
And it's like, I know, you know, I know that when, you know, you twiddle your thumbs around and at any point you could just get pushed into the deep end.
True.
So like,
here's the thing though. You know, I like to stay ready by waking up early. This way, if someone's right. like, we need you to be somewhere at 5 a.m. I go, no problem. I've been waiting for 2 hours. Where the hell have you been?
Yeah.
My waking up early keeps, and like waking up, working out, that morning routine, I feel like keeps me ready. Cause then that way, whatever's thrown to you in the day, you're free to like, you're available. Cause you're like, I did all those other like essential things that I need to clear my head or focus me or whatever.
And I like to sleep in.
Guys, you heard it here first. Shall we get to it?
Yeah, we might as well. Now we're going a bit heavy.
This is a nightmare. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome fantastic actress, which we talk about, fantastic friend, which we talk about. We talk about our epic meeting.
Wore a great hat.
Great hat. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Emily Goss right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Do that, don't you?
I always do it. And Emily, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party podcast. I already started recording. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
You know what? I'm loving my life. Catching up with you. This is what we do every couple weeks. Sometimes like maybe a
long time.
Yeah. Sometimes a 2 or 3 month, depending on if people are out of town or not. We get together. We do a catch up. It's always epic, but it's never like, oh, things have changed or it's so different or this or that. It's always just picking up where we left off.
Right.
Do you know what I, like?
I do. It's a really special relationship. And hilariously, you're one of my oldest friends in LA, which is, I mean, it's like since 2012 in LA years is, you
know. Well, I met you like, I think I'd only been here for maybe 2 years or something. Like I hadn't been here that long.
I was brand
new.
Well, I went to college here, but this was like the start of my real professional adult LA life.
Yes. And I want to get into the self-esteem party check-in in a second, but we met in a bathroom lineup at Cafe Gratitude when I was on a fake date.
Yep. And I was like, why was I there? I was a shock girl in the summer of 2012 and fall of 2012.
Absolutely.
For a brief period of time. And I had met this girl when I was out selling shots, and I wanted to like learn about her life and see how I could like be a sugar baby like her.
Yeah, and instead you learned about mine and made no money. If anything, I've cost you money in coffees and teas.
So, worth it.
Keeping all this in mind, Emily, on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of self-esteem, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling really good. I'm going to say 7.5.
Whoa, I'll take it for a Monday. Hello.
Well, I love Mondays actually.
Fresh start.
Exactly.
I'm fresh start to the week. Like, Sundays are a write-off because you spend all Sunday going, what was this past week? Yeah. And what do I want to change for this upcoming
week? Right. It's too transitional.
Yes. It's why Norm and I, we used to record on Sundays to get like a day's worth head start for editing and stuff like that. And we stopped because, well, one, with NFL, it's like football all day. So when are we supposed to record? And two, the updates are just about football. So it was like truly terrible updates. But yeah, Monday, you're like new me, potentially new you, depending on who you're talking to.
Right.
And it's like, what do you got going on this week?
Yeah, getting things done.
Getting things done. And it's hard because now when the weekend comes, like with the pandemic and everything, it's like the weekend plans aren't weekend plans anymore. You're like, not much.
I was never a big weekend person. No. I don't like going out.
No, yeah. You and I were like a Tuesday, Thursday morning.
Perfect. Yeah.
Especially like, and I'm talking, you guys, sometimes we're talking anywhere between 8 and 9 a.m. I mean, we're talking morning. Yeah. Get the day going
right. Definitively in the a.m. Yes. Yeah, not close.
Yeah, not close. Not like a brunch.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We're talking morning.
Yeah.
Okay, 7.5. What's getting us to the 7.5 other than particularly liking a Monday?
Yeah, I mean, seeing you and like, yes, obviously, dude. Let's start there.
Yes.
But you know, and you do know, I recently got engaged.
Yes, you did. I'm dying to talk about it. I purposely didn't. I wrote a fun comment, but texted you to book this, but
yeah.
I purposely didn't ask the details or this or that because I wanted to talk about it, of course.
Keep it fresh.
And we've all, you know, I've had some guests on that have got married in the pandemic and, you know, this and that. So it's really fun to hear people's stories of like, positive, fun, good things happening right now because, I mean, well, you know, like with Delta and everything, you're like, oh my God, we're all right back in it. You're like, oh cool, remember those 4 weeks that we were free as a bird? Now stripped away. So it's like your engagement is all that's keeping me going right now. You know what I mean?
You're welcome.
Thank you. Tell me about it though. Let's hear the story. And please don't drag it out. We have lots to cover. I already told you this before we started.
So I started dating this person, Brad, in September of 2019.
I'm glad you said his name because if you didn't, I was immediately going to say it.
You couldn't remember.
I couldn't remember. I've been hearing about this guy for years and I couldn't remember his name. That's the truth. And yes, I've met him. So that is the truth of the situation. Met him and I thought, this one's not going to last. Why bother retaining the information? Why bother?
Oh, man.
Okay, so 2019.
So we met in the fall of 2019 and then we're already talking about serious stuff in January of 2020, and it was strangely not making me uncomfortable.
Okay.
Which was very new, because normally
very
I like
new
to
for you.
Keep the distance,
yes.
Stay uncommitted, stay independent.
Yes.
And then, you know, we did a soft move-in March of 2020.
Yes, I remember this. Very soft.
I kept my apartment.
Yes.
But spending most of the time in the trailer he was living in.
Yes, at the time.
Yeah.
In Altadena.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name, but love the location. You know what I mean? But again, don't know who we're talking about. Yes, I remember this.
Yeah. And that was not only was the pandemic in its early stages, so
yes.
Like the most stressful times.
Because that was a Zoom
that
I met. I remember
Zoom
we
date.
Had the Zoom date.
Yeah.
And that's when I had first met him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, we were living in 120 square feet, and he had a really nice outdoor area. It was this, like, mobile home in the back of someone's yard in Altadena. But it was a pretty sweet setup. So we're in really close quarters, pretty new relationship, spending a ton of time together. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And it was so great. And it was like, wow, like, thank God I get to be with this person.
Yeah.
And really, he was the best part of my pandemic. You know, there were so many ups and downs, especially downs. But
are you talking about me?
Yeah. You knew it. It wasn't
are you
too
on
subtle.
Here to confront me? Is that what's happening?
Let's do it.
Yeah, there was a lot
I'm
of
ready.
Ups and a lot of Alanas,
a
but
lot of,
I made
oh
it
my
through.
God. Yeah.
But yes, keep going because I, from my end of it, I was hearing that positivity and we've had a long history of sharing dating stories.
Yeah.
And the different people we've gone through.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a rude way to say it, but the different people we've cycled through. And it was different.
Mm-hmm.
It was different this time.
It was very different immediately.
Yeah. Did you figure that out upon the move-in or
immediately? Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I hate that people are right when they say you'll know when you know.
Oh, I know. Disgusting.
I hate if it is just a drag, you know?
It is a drag.
But people are right, and I knew.
Yeah.
And it felt right. I was so pleasantly surprised by everything he would do and say. And I was like, wow, that is exactly how I would hope someone would respond.
Yeah.
Or what I would hope someone would do. And so we just got really close during the pandemic, and I can't believe, after all he witnessed, that he wants to marry me. And like, I kept thanking him.
I'm going to stop you right there. Let me tell the listeners, you are a gift sent from above.
Gosh.
So, and get me wrong, like, or don't get me wrong. I mean, sorry, we love Chad, Brad, whatever his name is. Okay, Rad, nobody knows, but it's, and I don't know him that well, but like, Emily, I mean, I met you in a bathroom line on a fake date, and I was like, who is that? You had that beautiful dress on. Remember, I commented on it. That was like the first thing we had said, is I commented on your dress. It had a pattern on the bottom, and it was like navy on the top. No, dude, you've worn this dress since. I know.
Okay.
I'll have to go through your closet.
When you come over, yeah, exactly.
Because I 100% I know this dress.
Okay.
And I can point it out right away.
Okay.
Anyway, she's in this dress. And you have such an energy to you. You like pull people in. This is why you're such a good actress and my only actress friend. You pull people in. So it's like, and he might, listen, he's great. And he's also good for you because you guys don't do the same thing. And what a breath of fresh air.
And I was really scared about that and really impressed about his patience and his ability to adapt and accept what I do. And basically, I mean, I do think I bring some stuff to the table as far as relationship. But like really, I had a lot of really low lows over the pandemic.
Yeah.
And just in general, anyone wanting to marry anyone is such a huge gift.
After being locked in for so long.
But even just the gesture, like that's, we had talked a lot about marriage, but the actual proposal, what was so profoundly different about that experience is like that weight of like, you actually bought me a ring and thought about this and you actually want to be with me forever. Like the reality of that was so moving and just has brought up my self-esteem and my happiness.
7.5 and rising.
Notches. Yeah, you know, the base level is higher.
I mean, here's the thing. I can't really relate. I'm pretty sure I gave Norm an ultimatum.
You are.
Musso and Franks. So, you know, again, just can't relate to the beauty of an engagement.
He did it.
You know, again, not much of a choice. At this point, we were already roommates. What was he going to do? Pack his bags and move out?
It's so
you
hard
know?
To find an apartment.
It's just so hard to find an apartment, guys. The rental market in LA is a nightmare. So if you're married, hang on to that for now. Wait till the prices drop, then get that sweet, sweet divorce. You know what I mean? It's like the most discouraging podcast today. I have a personal question.
Yeah.
You knew I was going to ask some personal questions. So you had mentioned some low lows, and I'll share too. I'm not going to put you out there on your own. But can I get an example
of
one or two or whatever?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, I turned 30 in April of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Actually had the best birthday of my life because I don't normally have birthday parties.
Yeah,
and I had a Google Meet and everyone came and it was like, wow, you know, this is great to see everybody.
Wow, I know people.
I know people. but I think being 30, having that milestone, thinking about what I have achieved and what I have not achieved, what I hoped my life would look like, and, you know, like still struggling to earn my health insurance and not knowing where my next job is going to come from. The space to think more seriously about my career was really hard, you know, because I was used to being so busy that I didn't have to think about it. I was treading water.
Because you really were busy.
I was busy. And between plays and projects and meeting people and going to film festivals, there was always enough stuff going on where it gave the illusion of progress.
Yeah. Well, every time we would check in, there was like either something, the continuation of something you had told me about last time, or the beginning of something else, or you'd be like, oh, I was just out of town. Like, you always had, like, I guess for lack of a better term, updates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is amazing. I'm really lucky in that respect, and I have to remember that.
But then when it comes to a halt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden you're like, I forget everything.
Right. And it's just like, what is next? Because in acting, it is always about what is next.
Yeah.
And I mean, also there are things like seeing my face change in self tapes.
Oh my God, guys, if you could see my face right now, busted. Let me tell you,
that hurts. I can't,
it really hurts when you, because when you see yourself on camera, in an actual production, somebody else did your hair and makeup. You look amazing. Their job and soft lighting, their job is to make you look 10 years younger. But then when you see yourself on your phone, you're like, I'm a monster. If I submit this, someone's computer is going to break when they bring up the file. Like, it's horrifying.
Totally.
And then turning 30, I mean, I'm significantly older than you, but turning 30, I understand, was a milestone for me as well. Mm-hmm. Sure, I did ecstasy in Vegas and we had two very different nights, but nonetheless, great birthday.
Great birthday.
But really reflective.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be like, I'm 30, my life is over, because I always hate when people do that.
No, I'm not hearing that. That's not what I'm just hearing, that it was a darker time of reassessing.
Yes.
Things.
Yeah. Reassessing, knowing that some things are behind me. I'm in a different age range for roles.
Yes.
That's kind of the only thing, the only number that matters.
That one hits.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, I understand I'm older woman or young mom now. And you're like, okay, soon I will be old mom. And that is how they list the characters, young mom, old mom.
Just there's, so you no guys know, there's no in between.
Yeah. Or lady. Right. That's the in between is the lady.
Oh man.
No, but that's tough. And then, so what was Brad's role during this? When this, like, did you express these feelings? Because he's not in the industry. He works a very cool job. He's not in the industry.
Yeah.
And you know, we can be the one time I dated someone not in the industry. And yes, there was a language barrier, but the one time I dated somebody not in the industry, everything I said sounded very vain and shallow and hollow. Mm. My concerns of aging or just reflecting on my life and my career and stuff like that. But it's like, and I don't make this choice. I don't want it to be this way, but it matters.
Yeah.
How does he respond to that?
I mean,
what's it seem like to him?
He responds so well. And to his credit, I never felt like my concerns were trivial. I never felt like when I was sobbing uncontrollably, because when I'm analyzing everything to such an unhealthy degree, every job becomes more precious.
Yeah.
And so the pain of not getting something is really extreme. And so there were a lot of like close calls, close but no cigar moments that were even more painful.
Yeah.
And he was always like, when we're going to be bed, like, talk to me, like, wake me up if you need me. Like, he was amazing.
Oh my God, I couldn't wake Norm if I was on fire. He'll turn to me and say, quiet.
but he was really amazing.
Yeah.
And interestingly, what was a really interesting adjustment, and talk about self-esteem, was, so he's an engineer.
Yes.
All of his friends are engineers or work in computer stuff.
Yeah.
They're a type of,
I don't know what to call it, but technology or computer, like, I don't know what to call it, but I understand.
Thank you. And I was the only artist, really, and next to all these people my age who are able to buy homes, you know, they're starting their families. That was also the first time I had to really look at my life out of context.
Yes.
Because when I'm surrounded by artists, we're all in this together. We're all in a similar place. We all get it. But
and we're used to it.
And we're used to it.
We're used to the struggle.
Yeah, and it never came from anyone in his family or any of his friends. I didn't feel valid.
Yeah.
It was coming from my own shame by comparing myself to these other people.
What a word, shame. How accurate is that? Because it is shame, and you're right. Most of the time, shame is self-inflicted. Mm. Like, you're right. Nobody's making you feel bad. I'm sure they love you, and they're right. Like, cool, they she's an great. Actress.
They don't care that I haven't worked in so-and-so months.
Yeah, but it's like, it is that shame where you're like, what am I doing, and how did I get to only here? Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's because, like, we made up goals.
Right.
Like, you're saying, like, when I'm 30, I thought I'd be at Blaine.
Oh, my God, that's so true.
We just made it up. We were just like, I'm going to have this job when I'm 30. And it's like a teacher being like, by the time I'm 30, I would have taught all the math. And you're like, what?
I would have won my awards for math.
Like, you just like made up the math that you have to teach for the people. It's like, it doesn't make sense. And it's mm-hmm. also still to talk about a teacher. Like in our job, it's like we're constantly threatened to not get the job. So it's like a principal going into the teacher's classroom every day and being like, better teach the hell out of these kids. It could be your last day.
I know. Every like, job could be your last. Every opportunity could your last. The pressure is really insane. And so I'm really trying to adjust my mindset because it is all in your mind.
So what are we doing to adjust that? Because I had a nasty day yesterday and I am in a need to adjust mindset day to day, which is why I was very excited to record with you because you and I do get into deeper conversations when we quickly give the update and then we cut the bullshit and we kind of get right to it. We've always been that way.
Yeah.
So I was very excited to talk to you. So what are you doing? What's the plan, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I started counting backwards and I was like, oh, well, actually, if I want to have kids in 4 years, I cannot support a kid with my money right now, like with my income. You know, I can support myself.
Yeah.
But even contributing to a household with two people is a little iffy.
Yeah.
And a kid, forget about it.
Oh my God. And that's being, listen, everybody, you can do whatever you want, but that I applaud your effort to be financially responsible because kids cost
so much money.
Like big time money.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's helpful. I like to plan. And so like thinking about that is actually calming to me rather than freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But so I've always wanted to direct.
Yes.
And so I had a piece that I had written that had received a lot of, you know, acclaim, for lack of a better word. It was like a finalist in a monologue competition.
Yeah.
So I knew it was interesting. And so I adapted that into a short film and produced and directed it. And I'm also producing a feature film, which will shoot in September.
Okay, I'm available, yeah.
Okay, great.
No need for an audition. I'll just go right to set. Just give me the location. I'll just be there. It's like, not a problem.
Great. Amazing.
But yeah, so this feature coming in the fall.
So this feature coming in the fall, thinking of myself as a producer and a director, giving myself more power and really like making it up out of thin air.
Yeah.
Like I forget.
It's self-start.
And it's really amazing. Gosh, I forget who says it in the documentary Disclosure, and I'm going to butcher her name. It's like one of the Wachowskis sisters.
Okay.
Yeah. And she says, when you create, the magic of sometimes art is you can create the handhold that you need to pull yourself up.
Ah.
Because it's all imaginary anyway, and you can create these projects out of nothing. So I created this short film and shot it and raised money for it. And
I donated.
Alana was the first donator, actually.
Was I really? Yeah. Oh, I was on it. I saw the post and was like, yep.
Yeah.
I was on
it. You were on it. And that support coming from friends was so meaningful. And then people showing up to work long hours.
Yeah.
To help me, to believe in me, has been huge. And I'm proud of this film. And
can you tell us a bit?
Yes.
It's not out yet.
It's not out yet.
Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah.
Just so that we can know.
Absolutely. So it is a 7-minute short film about a woman who is wondering about her future and reflecting on her past while she happens to be having an abortion.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in abortion rights, period, but also the portrayal of abortion in the media. And I've got all the stats, like after I've done all this research and had these conversations with providers and other representatives from Planned Parenthood and Whole Women's Health, but 1 in 4 women has an abortion.
Yeah.
And that is not the reality we see reflected in film and television.
Oh my God, not at all. You seem like the only person that's ever had an abortion. And everyone's like, I can't believe you're doing this.
It's really traumatic.
Yeah.
And
you're going to have nightmares forever. And like, this has happened to you and keep quiet about it. And it always has to be a secret. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
And that's part of the problem, I think. Like, I really believe that film can affect social change.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm a little hoarse. But anyway, so...
Thank you for apologizing.
You're welcome.
So rude.
Oh my God.
So
I don't want to minimize how upsetting the experience can be for people.
Of course but not. You're just talking people, about portrayal of it.
Right. Like, you know, there's a spectrum. And so this is a casual, quirky abortion story that actually takes place during the procedure, which is very straightforward and routine.
Yeah.
You can choose not to have sedation. So my character is just kind of jabbering through it and wearing her street clothes. It takes 5 to 10 minutes.
It's like a pap smear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the chattiness and, you know, because you're like, well, I guess I'm a little nervous and I want to fill this dead air right now and whatever.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But you're in a vulnerable, weird position. And
yeah.
I mean, I would say this one's a little more dramatic than a pap smear, but nonetheless.
It can be. Yeah. It can be.
Yeah.
And so that's the film. And I really hope to like have more conversations about abortion. It's really scary right now because the Supreme Court is hearing a case that may or may not overthrow Roe v. Wade. Or
ruin everything for everyone. It's scary around the world, but it's very scary here right now.
Yeah.
Very scary. Mm-hmm. And you know, now that I'm able to vote. I'm voting yes to the recall. No, I'm not.
Oh my God. My heart stopped.
I knew it.
That was not okay.
Guys, I'm not. Okay. I'm not. I registered to vote just to vote no. Okay. So no, I'm not fucking doing it. My God. I keep saying I'm going to write in and vote for the bear and just the bear, not the man behind it. Just that live bear that keeps showing up because he might have something to say. But no, I'm voting no. But nonetheless, it's being able to vote now. And I know this isn't, we're facing a different thing that's happening right now. But nonetheless, I'm like, it's so important to participate in any way you can. And mm-hmm. what you've done with this film mm-hmm. that I haven't even seen. I just know about it from like when you had sent the messages or whatever and then talking about it now in a couple posts you made. But it's like, this is part of it. Mm-hmm. This is being active. This is doing something to make change. Mm-hmm. That is all we can do right now because so much is out of our hands. Like there's a hearing for a case, but you're like, well, I can't be the lawyer. So you know what I mean?
This is how I can help.
This is how you can help. And especially the way you've done it, as you're saying, with the research and talking to a large amount of people to get all the information that you can. And then based on that, making a choice where you're like, okay, well, here's one way I haven't seen it done before. And wouldn't that be interesting to see it that way? And maybe other people did have it that way.
Right.
And they can be like, oh, I'm not the only one. Like, it's really, I don't know if you notice this or like feel the same way about this, but with miscarriages, it's like, so you have to carry around this deep, dark, dirty secret or something like that. Like people have made you feel that way. And that's insane.
That's insane. Those are also very common, like early.
Oh my God, of course. Yeah. So it's like, and the shame that you inflict upon yourself or my God forbid somebody else inflicts upon you. Like I can't even think about that kind of scenario, but it's like, I don't know. I mean the 1 in 4, I did not know that. That makes me happy because here's the thing, guys. Everybody has a reason, and it's not for us to decide if it's a good reason or a bad reason. It's just the reason, and we don't know the backstory. We never know the backstory. Now, in your film, does she say why or what happened? Don't tell me. Don't spoil it.
I'm so excited by what you just said. It never comes up.
Really?
We do not know her name. We do not know how she got pregnant or why she decided to have an abortion for exactly that reason. It's none of our business.
I love it. I love it because that is the case. This is a medical procedure. It just is what it is. And it's not like you go in and, you know, if you have a cough or something like that, and they're like, well, what did you do to get this cough? You're like, I don't fucking know. Touch the doorknob? Right. Like, I have no idea.
The need to explain or justify, again, kind of, I guess this is a theme in my life, and just squashing that, nipping that in the bud.
I mean, that's also, it's interesting that the need to explain, just to get back to what you had said earlier about your fiance and like his friends and it making you think about where you're at. It's like, sometimes I feel the need to like explain why I don't own a home or, justify why I'm doing what I'm doing. Cause to somebody else that maybe has a more stable job, it could seem like a irresponsible decision or a selfish decision, sorry, or something like that. But it's not anyone's business. This is what I do. I'm not asking you for money. Mm-hmm. So what do you care?
Yeah.
But we tell ourselves they care.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm sure they're like, hey, look who's on TV. Like to them, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it seems so cool. But to us, I'm like, wow, look at your home. And do you get to sleep here? And you have permission to be in this place?
And for me, it's really just forcing myself to acknowledge the truth. It's like I can know something on an intellectual level, and I trust eventually I will believe it. Eventually it'll osmose through my body.
Yep.
So I really just have to, by brute force, tell myself the things and recognize habits and trust that eventually I will have those habits.
I mean,
or better habits.
This has been said before, by many people. I hate to break it to you guys, the fake it till you make it is real.
Yeah.
It is real. And I as I mentioned, I had a bit of a day yesterday or whatever. One of those days where I got into my head about something that happened to be career related, but then I like twisted it and morphed it into it being about the kind of person I am and my intelligence. I was just like, I'm so fucking stupid. Like that was kind of what it boiled down to by the end of the day. And this morning I woke up and I literally said out loud into the mirror, you are not stupid. Couldn't go as far as to say I'm smart, but I said I wasn't stupid. It was halfway there. I got halfway there and I'm already feeling better about it.
That's like, amazing.
Yeah. Like I didn't give my score at the beginning of this episode with you on purpose because I don't know how I feel right now. So I can't put a number on it. And in thinking that, I was like, wow, I really put a lot of pressure on my guests to have to put the number on it when I have the luxury of being like, not sure. It's like so rude of me. Again, I'm the rude host.
But like patience and recognizing where we are, those things are really important.
Yeah.
And that there's no judgment. And I'm sure your guests don't feel like it's rude. I don't feel like it's rude. Again, that's like, you know, your own judgment.
I just couldn't because I didn't want to give a number because I'm afraid I'm going to give yesterday's number. Because really, if you were to ask me yesterday, it would be a 3. I felt very dismissed. I felt very stupid. And I felt like, what the fuck am I doing? And have I been doing it wrong this whole time? Like, I mean, one of those days where you're like, was I wrong in life? Like, was I?
Oh my God. I know that. I know that.
Do you know what I mean? You're like, oh my God, this whole time.
Should I have turned left at Albuquerque?
Oh my God.
You know, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, 100%. I know exactly
what you mean.
And I had one of those days. And then the problem is I kind of woke up in it this morning of trying to decipher, like while I was journaling, what was what of the day? What was real and valid? And what did I make up? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was really like, it was really tough. And it was like, I went to dinner with my friend and her parents who I love. And it was hard because in my head at that point, that was at the end of the day, right? So I'd already had all this other stuff happen and was like spiraling. And then at the end of the day, I was like, at the dinner, I was like, I have nothing useful to contribute here. I didn't say that aloud, obviously. And we had a great time and it was totally fine.
Good.
But I did have a moment in my head where I was like, that narrative residual stuck around. And then I woke up with that this morning and then cast it aside because I wanted to talk to you and have a bit of a clearer mind. But I don't know, maybe it is shame. Maybe yeah. it is kind of a bit of that.
The regret stuff is so
the
hard.
Regret. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what I try and tell myself when I go down those spirals
yeah.
is I was making the choices at the time based on like my happiness. Like I was doing the best I could.
Yep.
I was happy at the time when I went to grad school and bumped the mic. Rookie mistake.
We're going to stop. We're going to stop the recording.
No, I was happy at the time. And also, and then this is like literally what I say to myself, if I hadn't gone to grad school, if I had started working, gotten a series, maybe I would have gotten a car accident on the way to set and died.
Or you
I have to take yeah. it that far. I have to like butterfly effect it. Like if this had happened, and now it's easier because I feel like had my career been in a different place, I would never have met Brad.
Yeah.
And that's a really concrete.
I'm just saying.
Oh, well, I would have
okay,
met
let's
you.
Just do it. Yeah. You know what?
We met were at destined. The beginning. Yeah.
We were, Brad's the one who's lucky he squeaked in. We were destined to be together.
Yeah.
I 100% know what you mean. I often think, like, of course I had a, you know, big goals and dreams growing up. And my timeline was, I was like, by the time I'm 25, I'm going to have blank. Mm-hmm. Right. I set that time.
Uh-huh.
And, I realize I didn't get it. It's like it was the universe protecting me, or maybe my own fuck ups protecting me, because I wouldn't have been able to handle it. And I would have fucked it up. Like,
yeah, it's also, you know, that's also, you know, helpful, what I mean? To recognize.
I wasn't mature enough. Like even when I did that kid show in Toronto or whatever, and it was, you know, it was big and a lot, I mean, kids were watching it or whatever, but it was like the kids loved us, whatever. It was very popular. I even kind of fucked that up. Like mm-hmm. in between seasons, I was like super depressed because I couldn't handle having this thing so close to what I want. And then we'd stop filming and I'd be like, now what?
Mm.
And I just couldn't, no one had prepared me for how emotionally taxing and the ups and downs that come with having that bit of success. And you're like, I thought this was supposed to be it. Like mm-hmm. I thought this was like, we get here and we're like, great, we have money, we have this, we have that. And then you're like, oh fuck, it had nothing to do with that and everything to do with me.
Yeah.
And I came into this unprepared mm-hmm. and not mature enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, here's the beauty of turning 30.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, everything gets better in your 30s. Sure, I've had a low 7 years, but everything gets better in your 30s because you have seen more of the world and your role in it and other people's roles in it. And you're able to like turn on the news and be like, have compassion and empathy for people. And as opposed to just being like, oh my God, is this natural disaster somewhere else in the world going to affect my day to day? Like, you know what I mean? You're like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You stupid 23-year-old. Like, you know what I mean?
Totally.
And if there's any 23-year-olds listening, please stop. You're not the target audience. I'm just kidding. Please listen. You are the target audience. We're trying to give you the self-esteem for a better you in the future.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
I should really be getting this to the kids.
I think so.
I mean, it's explicit content, so I legally don't know if I can push it on the children, but nonetheless. But yeah, I have to say, it's hard to hear you've had low lows in the pandemic, but I appreciate you sharing that because I really didn't know.
Yeah.
I really didn't know.
Well, it's funny. It's, you know, it's like you see on Instagram, you see me posting about my short film.
Yes.
You don't see me in the throes of agony, not being able to take the pain of being an actor, deciding to expand to directing and writing.
Yeah.
It's so funny, like, where these things come from. And yeah, I just, like, I've always been a person who's had really low lows and really high highs.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We never catch each other in that.
I know,
it's
funny.
Because we're excited to see each other.
Ooh.
And that's what I... Because mm-hmm. I don't feel the need to impress you.
Yeah,
and
good.
We all have friends we feel the need to impress, whether we know it or not. I call totally. Them resume friends.
Oh my God.
Where you see them and it's... Pretend you run into them at a party or you're out or whatever. And you're like, what's going on? Oh my God. I'm doing so good. I have a new place that's amazing. I've got this boyfriend I love. I have this awesome agent. I just booked this huge gig. And I'm like, okay, great. I don't know. I was looking for tired or I feel good. There's chips. Like, I don't know. I just, anything. But they feel the need to put this resume out. Mm. And I'm like, is this for me or for you? Mm. Who's benefiting from this right now?
Always for the other person. Or, you know, I mean,
I think so.
I really believe in the four agreements. Like, nothing
oh, yeah.
other people Love do that. Is because of you.
Yeah. I think you're right.
And don't take anything personally.
What did you, I can't remember the book that well, but what language of, like, what did you latch onto in that book? If you can, like.
Yeah, okay, so what, so it's never make assumptions, be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, and nothing that other people do is because of you. Or, yeah. or maybe that's part of the third one, and I'm forgetting the fourth.
Yeah. Okay, well, whatever, there guys. Are These some are great some agreements. Themes in there. There's great agreements in there. Okay.
But I think don't take anything personally is really profound oh God, and really powerful.
And that's my biggest struggle.
Yeah.
It's what I aspire to, mm-hmm. to not take things
yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. Because really, you and I both, and like what we've talked about so far, is this ongoing conversation we have with ourselves. And adapting that conversation and dealing with ourselves where we are and having a fluid, flexible back and forth with ourselves.
Fluid, that's the word.
That we just have to do and have to carry on yeah. and like understanding that relationship.
Yeah. And carrying on, that's a really, that's a good way to label it, because when you are in those low lows, I mean, yesterday I'm like, what am I going to do? Stop?
Yeah.
What am I just, and I don't mean stop acting. You want to stop acting? Stop acting. I mean like stop.
Stop moving. Yeah. Just I totally stop. Knew what you meant. No,
you know
but
what I
just
mean?
Like, yeah, it's the recognizing without judgment, the seeing and the carrying on.
Yeah. And that is what I'm struggling with right now. The self-start carrying on, moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't feel that way.
I know.
It doesn't feel okay. And it doesn't feel like it's going to be okay. And that is a scary statement to make. And it makes me feel like I'm being really negative, but I can't shake it.
And that is a feeling. Like, it's okay yeah. to feel like that's a valid, understandable
real.
Feeling.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not yeah. real, but that's how you feel. And so that's great.
I
you know, that's okay.
I just can't see it.
Yeah.
I just don't see what plops into my lap or what I discover around the corner or
right.
what. I just don't see it. And, you know, in the past, and I think a lot of people experience this, that's usually when the unexpected thing
yeah.
comes that you're like, I could have never imagined this. And isn't that great? Not necessarily a job, maybe a person, maybe a brat, mm-hmm. maybe, like you don't know, right? But right now I can't even guess. And and then I'm like, but when?
Right.
Maybe that thing is coming. Pretend I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
When? Because according to the pandemic, you know, I'm on somebody else's stopwatch right now.
Mm.
Not mine. So that complicates things. And I think has for a lot of people, like a lot of people really don't know when their next job is coming because their old job does not exist. So you're like, a lot of people got let go when companies realized they didn't have to be in office and things like this. And you're just like, where they could use less people and get more out of them because everyone then would be grateful just to have the job that they might settle for terms that they're not as into. But it's like, it makes you feel lost.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel a little lost.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I can take away the feeling stupid. I can say that in the mirror, but I'm like, it doesn't give me any more direction.
Mm-hmm. So what can you do while you're lost that makes you happy or makes you feel productive or, you know, and, or just like, what do you do to get through your days? While you're feeling lost, you're not trying to adjust the lost bit. You're
mm-hmm.
just letting that be whatever it is. But like, what else can you do?
Well, this is okay. Sometimes a workout.
Yeah.
Because then I stop thinking.
Yes.
And that's why I purposely do workouts, either the Zumba on the Nintendo Switch or, you know, yoga on Amazon Prime or something where someone else is talking.
Yeah.
And it's not my own having to make it up because then I'm still talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go back to live classes yet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that where someone else is talking. And then I guess like this podcast really helps.
I bet.
Because it's like, it's just something I said I was going to do every week, and then I do.
Which is amazing.
But I don't.
Which is so insane.
It can't feel like that, because the goal is, like, the setting out to do it is just me chatting with a friend. So it feels, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, this is productive right now, you and I, but it feels like I'm tricking everybody because I'm like, joke's on you, I'm just hanging out with my friend. Like,
but that's okay.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Hanging out with a friend's important too.
Yeah.
You are right.
And very entertaining to some people, you know?
To some people. Like, if you guys
hopefully we're giving joy.
Hopefully we are. If you guys are not entertained, please tweet at self-esteem.
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? That's 100% that's the hashtag, guys. It worked in Gladiator, it can work now, it can work. Wow, you were on that.
Oh good, I was waiting. I'm waiting.
You came here
9 years for that.
You came here knowing people would not be entertained, and you were like, I'm gonna bring it up, I swear to fucking god, I'm gonna say it.
Oh man.
No, it's so nice to be able to talk to you, because this is a bit of backstory. I already kind of mentioned it. You are my only actress friend. I go see one play a year. And including in the pandemic, I watched the virtual play. So I still
you kept stuck your promise. With it.
I kept my promise. I go to the one play a year. It's your play that I go to. You're always obviously the best part of the play. I mean, you could have no role and I'd be like, she nailed it. Like, I'm obsessed with you. I think you're great. Sure, a couple of the plays I didn't understand the plot. And afterwards, you had to explain it to me, that mouse one. And I was like, to the point where to the point where characters died and I didn't know. Like, I or like, it was like something was all in their head. And I was like, what? And I just And it has nothing to do with the acting, by the way, guys. It was so clear to everybody with me. So clear. And just for me, watching a play, it's like someone at the end has to give the sum up, the bullet points of what I just saw. And maybe I should stick around for Q&As and be like, how did that end? Just put my hand up. Excuse me. How did the play? Wait, what's the second one? Because what's the second one?
The first play I ever did. I think you left at intermission with the penises.
Yes, I did leave at intermission. And here's why, guys. It felt like a sexual assault. It was very triggering. And the person I was with also very triggered. And I was like, I don't know if I can. I didn't know where it was going to go. And I was too scared to find out. And that's you were so gentle with me about it when I explained the situation, where I was like, here's what was actually going on. And this was a while back, but I was like, here's what was actually going on. And you were like, okay. And then you were like, it did turn around. And I was like, yeah, I should have guessed that it was going to have a bit of a turnaround. But at the time because I don't go to plays, so it felt and really intense.
I think that was the first play I did in LA. So that was the first play that you ever went to.
Yes.
And we lost people at intermission every show, and that was fine.
Yeah.
And I totally understood.
I don't feel as bad now.
Don't feel bad at all.
I thought it was just me being like, no, I'm a psycho and can't sit through something.
70s feminist Polish surrealist play.
Yeah.
Very weird. I loved the opportunity to get to do this play. I enjoyed my character. I don't think I like the play or would have sat around for it had I been in the audience myself.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that you came was all that mattered. And I really understood.
It was in Santa Monica. It was a huge drive there. We found parking. That wasn't a big deal. So I was like, this will be great. Visually, the play was gorgeous, but it just goes to show how good of a job you guys did that you could trigger us so much.
There's that perspective. I mean, yeah, absolutely. There is that purpose of call it art, call it, whatever you want.
I mean, you've done other plays that were so sad. It's like, not that Yale one, that was a blast, but the one with the Yale man. Oh yeah, like, I don't know any character.
All Wilderness by Eugene O'Neill.
I don't absorb any of the information, but I'll latch onto a character too.
Oh my god.
But it was like, but you definitely got some emotions out of me. And I mean, I'm barely watching drama films. So
I know, me neither.
It was, like, I'm all about those sweet, sweet comedies or like action Marvel movies or whatever. So I do appreciate that. It's something I've always said I can't act, which I have been told numerous times to stop saying.
Yeah, but good.
I'm talking like what you do. I'm reading this book right now about acting. And boy, am I getting a lot of rereads in those chapters. But anyways, I'm reading a book and they said the most important thing is the actor has to be present.
Hmm.
And that is something you do in life and on stage. And I think that's why I find you so captivating.
Wow, thank you.
Even now as we're talking, you make me feel like I'm the only thing that matters. And that is like, I hope Brad does that for you. That is like, that is really special, especially in this town. To feel like you fucking matter.
Yeah.
And after a day I had yesterday, to feel like I matter to somebody and you're really listening and like genuinely care. And this has been in all of our coffee bean dates and the various other coffee shops we've met at over the, we do coffees and teas. I'm sorry, you do tea. But it's always, it's a quality not a lot of people possess to be able to make somebody feel that way.
Well, thank you. For that really means the world to me, that kind of compliment. And I also want to point out that you're reading an acting book right now. That's hella productive.
Can you believe
and
it?
And like, I mean, talk about something to do to feed your brain and feed your soul and get you thinking while you're lost.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was Norm's idea because he had read it and he was like, you might actually like
what
this.
What is it?
It's... I can't see it. It's called... trying to get it out of the corner of my eye. I think it's called like... Actor's Handbook, and it's by David Rotenberg.
Okay.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
I don't even know a lot of this kind of like acting stuff.
I don't. It was recommended to Norm.
If you had been like Uta Hagen or Strasberg or Mamet, I would have known it, but yeah.
Yes, Mamet is referred in the book a lot.
Uh-huh.
But it referred to Norm and then referred to me by Norm.
Great.
And yeah, it's really good because it's really practical. Like the first thing is like, be present. Without it, you're not acting. So it just keeps reminding you of that the entire book. And that is something that you do. And sometimes I think I lack that a little bit because I'm so into getting those laughs that I'm just thinking about the next laugh. And I'm not always thinking about like, okay, but what's happening in between?
Which behooves you as a comedian. It's just hard to turn that off.
Oh my God. Let's do some acting right now.
Okay. Oh my God.
Give me a line. Wait, we have time. Give me a line and I'm gonna act it. Okay, so give me a line. And it's like, tell me, like, give me the situation and then I'll act it.
Okay. I mean, okay. God. See, I'm not an improviser. This is the hardest thing for me.
Something you learned in a class, maybe. Like, what is something, what's an acting thing that you had to do one time or a scene? And
Oh my God. Okay. Shoot. I wish I could remember. Okay. So I just auditioned for a medical industrial.
Okay. Here we go.
I auditioned for the gynecologist and the patient who was interested in long-term birth control other than... the pill.
Okay.
So you're Anne F. You're in your 30s. You have twins. And you're seeing me, your gynecologist. This is acting. Like, this is like real world acting.
I love this.
And this is not Shakespeare or like...
No. This is like...
This is what we have to do every day.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to say to your gynecologist... what was one of those lines? Like, so I'm going to ask you, have you been taking your birth control pill every day?
Okay.
And you're going to say, yes... but I keep worrying that I'll forget to take it. I've been so busy with my job and the twins.
The twins. Okay.
And I would prefer a long-term birth control that I don't have to remember to take. So the lines are not important. What is important is that thought.
Okay.
And just, yeah, you know.
Okay, here we go.
And like living in the truth of those circumstances.
I'm in the truth. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Have you been taking your birth control pill every day?
Yeah, but I'm just so worried I'm going to forget about it. I have these twins. I hate them. And I, you know, it should be a reason to remember. So I don't do it again.
Perfect.
is what I heard of what you said, where I was like, clearly she doesn't like the twins because she's so desperate to be back on birth control.
You just found an intention. You created a backstory and a life for that character that felt truthful for you.
It did feel...
That was your
Aunt. Think about it. You have twins,
yeah,
and you are like, your biggest concern you're going in is being like, please get me on birth control. My mind is fried. I can't even remember it because of these twins, because that's what will fry your brain, this maintenance, or raising kids, however you want to call it. And that's like, when the birth control pill isn't enough for somebody, I'm like, okay, we got to get hardcore now.
Yes.
This person really doesn't want to get pregnant.
And what is so fun about acting, what I have learned to really love and appreciate about acting, is that what is my version of the character? What can I bring to this person that no one else can? What is my point of view on this character? And that's exactly what you did.
You're so great. Like, even just, you're getting me all interested, and now I'm like excited to read the book again later today. Like, you're just like, this is what I'm saying. You just infuse this energy, and like, okay, you're in your low lows and crying. Let Brad deal with it, because man, when you come to me with positivity, you just lift me up.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Great.
Okay. We're doing the check-in. We're towards the end here. You came in at a 7.5. I came in unknown. Where are you at now?
I feel amazing. I mean, is it too crazy to say like 8.5?
Not crazy at all.
Yeah.
I accept. And here's some drama for you. So I'm going to pretend my beginning score was the 3 of yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like I said, I kind of was in it a bit when I woke up and tried to rally for you. Mm-hmm. So if I came in at that 3, the number that came to my head was 8, where I was like, it's that drastic of a difference. It's a 5-point difference. That's how I feel now after talking with you, because it's good to get this stuff off our chest. I love talking, this is going to sound weird, I love talking about abortion or women's rights. I mean, I do love talking about it, because it's important.
It matters. It really does.
But I know that could sound a little weird, but it does matter.
No, I mean, really, thank you for being so open to diving into this on your podcast.
Because I really wanted to. I told you I wanted to talk. Yeah. That's why I said to not say that much before, because I knew I wanted to talk about it, mm-hmm. because that stuff does excite me, because stories are being told.
Yeah.
And so I wish I had more of a platform to tell more of my stories. I know I had the live self-esteem party show, which was fun and comedic, but I'm like,
and incredible.
Thank you.
Really incredible.
Thank you.
The vulnerability of that show is not to be laughed at, no pun intended.
Very, very vulnerable show. And it was a platform to tell some of my stories. And I'm like, now that I'm a great actor, as we've seen, in the scene we did, I am excited to tell more in whatever way that looks like, but you know, maybe that's the self-start I needed to be like, tell a story.
Right. Like,
I don't know.
What makes you feel good is sharing vulnerability.
Right. So but it's not necessarily good what you're sharing.
Yes.
But it's the act of sharing. Yeah.
And you, now that you know that, you can use that.
Yeah. Okay, great. And this goes for any career.
Yeah.
You know, I reference teachers a lot. If you're a teacher, tell the kids what you've been through, hell and back. No, please don't. Honestly, no one's ever going to let me near a kid again. I mean, it's like, I'm sitting here telling everyone to dump everything on the kids. It's like, what the fuck is my problem? Like, thank God I'm never going to have that. They'd be taken away immediately. Like, holy shit. Okay, so Emily, again, tell us about, tell us where we can find you, because you have been posting a lot about the film, and then tell us like if anything's coming up or where we can look out for things.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at EmilyGoss650. And my short film is called A Little House in Aberdeen. I'm still raising money for it. If you want a tax donation, we have fiscal sponsorship through Film Independent, so donations are 100% tax deductible.
Can we find that in the link in your profile?
Yes.
Okay, good.
A Little House in Aberdeen has its own Twitter and Instagram. If you just search that, or if you find me, you can easily find those social medias.
I donated, guys. No excuse. No excuse. Okay. You and then so yeah, but we'll keep an eye out. And Film Independent is
the fiscal sponsor. Yeah.
Yes.
So that means that your donation is 100% tax deductible. And it was just like a really incredible vote of confidence.
I'm on
for
the email
project.
List.
Yeah. Oh, great.
I'm getting the emails.
Great. They got a lot and of good content.
Them, yeah. I write them back every day going, if you need anyone, I'm free. Just for the emails.
Amazing.
You need to shout anyone out. Okay, if you guys would like to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnston on Instagram and at Alana _ Johnston on Twitter. Emily, I cannot thank you enough. We did it.
We did it.
You said you shouldn't be a guest on the podcast, and I told you you should. And I was fucking right, because this is an incredible episode.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I'd love to keep chatting, but I am going to stop recording. Bye.
Believe in yourself.